This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح علينا بحكمتك وانشر علينا برحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Tonight inshallah we will be reflecting and trying to study the verses in Surah Yasin, which is the 36th chapter of the Quran. So inshallah we'll be projecting most of those verses, but you're welcome to follow with the book if you like. Surah Yasin has a story in it, and as we reflect on the stories of the Quran, the story is very simple. It's about a believer in a town or a village where he was basically the only one that responded to the call of not only one messenger, one prophet, but three of them. And he is known in Islamic tradition as the believer of Yasin. So again, this is the 36th chapter of the Quran, and it starts with verse 20. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Actually, it starts with verse 13. Allah says, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرِيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ قَالُوا مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا تَكْذِبُونَ. Allah says, and put forward to them a similitude. The story of the dwellers of the town, when there came messengers to them. When we sent them two messengers, they belied them both. So we reinforced them with a third. And they said, verily, we have been sent to you as messengers. They, the people of the town, said, you are only human beings like ourselves, and the Most Gracious, Allah, has revealed nothing. You are only telling lies. Story all familiar. A messenger sent to a village that transgressed and belied and denied the oneness of Allah, denied that Allah will send messengers to admonish people and to reinforce the Sharia. And Allah says, in this particular case, Allah sent them two messengers at one time. And we know that that happens also in other places in the Quran. We know that Musa and Harun, Moses and Aaron, were both sent as messengers, both at the same time, to the people of Fir'aun, to the family of Pharaoh. So it is not all unusual in the tradition of Allah and Allah's sunnah to send more than one messenger at a time for a wisdom that He knows. So for this particular story, Allah sends two messengers to this town. Yet Allah says, فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ, and then we reinforce them, we increase them with a third messenger. So the people of this village have been sent at least two messengers initially, and then Allah sent them a third one. So the call here for us, what we understand of that is the call, the da'wah, the message has to be very clear to them. The message that those people received is crystal clear as the sunlight. It's very clear what Allah has instructed them to do. And what did the messenger say? They said, we are sent by your Lord. We are sent by Allah as messengers. How did the people respond? They said, you are only human beings. So what in their mind, in the mind of those who belied the messengers, that just because you're a human being, you must be a liar. If God wants to send, He would not send a human being. He would send angels. He would send other type of creatures. مَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُنَا وَمَا أَنْزَلَ الرَّحْمَنُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And don't tell us that Allah has sent you. You are but a bunch of liars. You are basically liars. You are telling lies. And this rejection is, again, not unusual for the kuffar, for the disbelievers. Allah says in Surah At-Taghabun about the rejectors of faith, the people that reject the messengers of Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ كَانَتْ تَأْتِيهِمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَقَالُوا أَبَشَرُوا يَهْدُونَنَا فَكَفَرُوا وَتَوَلَّوْا وَاسْتَغْنَى اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. This is from a different chapter from At-Taghabun, Surah At-Taghabun. Allah says, that was because there came to them their messengers with clear signs, clear proofs. But they said, shall mere men guide us? They did not accept it that another human being is calling them to the path of God. And they said, فَكَفَرُوا. So they disbelieved. And وَتَوَلَّوا. And they turned away from the truth. So the truth was clear to them, and the thing that made them rejected was because the caller to the path of God was a human being like they are. And again, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the kuffar said, the pagans of Quraysh said, the kuffar throughout history, throughout time, they said, وَلَئِنْ أَطَعْتُمْ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا لَخَاسِرُونَ. If you were to obey a human being like yourselves, then verily you indeed would be losers. Now the obedience to that human being is not because of that humanity, the attributes of the human beings in that person. It is an obedience to Allah. It is obedient to the Creator who sent that messengers. When we obey the commands of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are obeying Allah. مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Those who obey the messengers are obeying Allah. Why? Because when the messenger is bringing the commandments, when he's bringing the admonishment, when he's bringing the good advice, he's bringing it from Allah. He's bringing it from the Lord. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. Allah says, it is not but an inspired revelations is what the messenger is bringing to you. So they belied the messenger because he is but a human being. So what would the messenger say in response to that argument? They said, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. The messenger said, our Lord knows that we have been sent as messengers to you. It is enough for us. How would you belie us? How would you reject our call? And we are bringing you the truth and the proofs. All messengers come with miracles. All messengers come with supporting proofs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We saw when we were studying the life of Musa alayhi salam, of Moses, how he brought nine clear signs to Fir'aun, to Pharaoh, and the people of Pharaoh. And they belied every single one of them. When they clearly saw that those miracles cannot be human miracles. There is no way that even a magician or a sorcerer can bring those proofs and the signs that Musa was bringing. When his staff would swallow the magic of the magicians and the illusions that they were portraying. And it was clear to them that this was not magic. Even the sorcerers fell down in prostration. Yet did Fir'aun believe? Did Pharaoh believe in Allah? Did he accept the truth? No. Every time they would reject the truth, every time they would go to Musa, and they would ask him to lift a calamity or lift a trial upon them when they were tested with the blood, the lice, and all of these other problems that they deserved. So they can just see the truth. Every time they would go to him and say, "Ya ayyuha sahir, oh you sorcerer, idu rabbak, pray for your Lord, ask your Lord to lift that calamity." And then when Allah lifts that calamity, they reject. They continue on their path of rejection. So those messengers say, you know that Allah has sent us. It is clear to us that it's enough for us, the most important witness for our message is Allah Himself. How can we belie? How can we lie before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the same argument that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put forth for Quraysh. And Allah says that if he was a liar, then Allah will can rip him apart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أخذنا منه باليمين ثم لقطعنا منه الوتين فما منكم من أحد عنه حاجزين. No one can protect him if he is a liar. But he is calling and claiming and witnessing in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can open the curtains if actually there is any... There is no problem there at all. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ Allah knows that we are the messengers to you. But our job is only to deliver the clear message to you. The job of the messengers is not to guarantee the response of the people to their message. The messenger is not a failure if no one responds positively to the call of Allah. They only have, their job is the way it is stated. Deliver the message, deliver it as clearly and as accurately from your Lord. So they said, مَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ Our job, our duty to you is only to convey plainly and clearly the message to you. So the people responded to them. How would they respond to that? Now there's the argument here is really strong from the messenger standpoint. How is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that those people responded to them? قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ The people said, the rejectors said, for us we see an evil omen for you. An evil omen. So we just think you're bad news. You're an evil omen. You bring evil things to us. Inna tatayyarna. What does the word tatayyarna mean? What does the tayyara mean? What is tayyara in the Arabic language? A bird. Right. What does bird has anything to do with an evil omen? Why is the word for evil omen tatayyarna? Just going back to the basics of the language and actually the habits of the Arabs. And the habits of jahiliyyah, the habits of the time of ignorance before the message of Allah. At-tayara came actually from birds. But the Arabs, they believed in omens. They had this old tradition, the pagan tradition that is deviated from the oneness of Allah and the worship of Allah. As Muslims, we believe that all good, all bad, all comes by the permission and the wisdom of Allah. And it only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one has any power over that destiny except Allah. Allah has limitless and infinite power over destiny. And that is an article of faith. The sixth article of faith, al-Iman bil-Qada wal-Qadar. So there's really no evil omens. If you see a black cat, if you pass, what are the other omens? A broken mirror, right? Pass under a ladder. Or good omens, things that we, or talismans, or things that we carry like a rabbit foot. You know, that's supposed to bring good luck. Or a clover, whatever. You know, all of these talismans and amulets and all of these omens. This was the beliefs of Jahiliyyah. This was beliefs of times of ignorance. That there are certain things that will show you the way of to do or not to do. So what do the birds have anything to do with it? They will take a bird, and if they, for example, intend to do something like travel on a journey, and they let the bird fly. And if the bird flies to the right, then that's a good omen. And if the bird flies to the left, then that is a bad omen. So this is called at-tayara. So they go and allow the birds to decide for them what is good and what is bad. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ They said, well, we see you all as a bad omen, as an evil omen. And if you don't stop, if you don't cease, we will surely stone you. Now this is the other argument of disbelief. If they do not have an intelligent and a logical response to the call of the truth, they will always either practice or at least threaten violence. We saw how Pharaoh responded to the call of Musa, of Moses. He said, "Zaruni aqtulu Musa." Let me kill Moses. Let me kill Musa. وَلْيَدْعُ رَبَّهُ And let him call his Lord. He was challenging Musa and challenging the Lord of Musa. And the same argument of tyranny The same argument of oppression doesn't stop. It's the same deal. They said, if you don't stop calling us, they're not going to respond to words by words. They will respond to words by stoning. Now, this is always a sign of oppression and transgression. You have a problem with my preaching. You have a problem with my words. Respond to me with words. Let's let the truth come out. No. They say, if you don't stop, we will stone you. لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيَمَسَنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ And you will be afflicted by torture from us, by torment that will touch you from us. And this argument of bad omen and leave us alone, we just don't want to hear what you say. We don't want to know what you want to bring to us. Rejection before you even accept to open the discussion is not new for the disbelievers. Allah shows us in Surah An-Naml, when Salih, Prophet Salih was sent to the tribe of Thamud, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا أَنْ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ فَإِذَا هُمْ فَرِيقَانِ يَخْتَصِمُونَ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ لَوْلَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ قَالُوا اطَّيَّرْنَا بِكَ وَبِمَنْ مَعَكَ قَالَ طَائِرُكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تُفْتَنُونَ The same argument that Salih brought to his people, he said, come to the mercy of Allah. Come to the forgiveness of your Lord. Just come back to His path and you will receive mercy and forgiveness. They said, we augur ill omen from you. We sense that you're bad luck. Just evil omen. You and those who were with you, the believers with you. And he said, your ill omen is with Allah. It is from yourselves. You are bringing the evil destiny upon yourself by rejecting the truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تُفْتَنُونَ Can't you sense it? Can you understand it? You are being tried. You are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, nay, but you are people that are being tested. And that is the fitna. That is the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same thing with Pharaoh. Now we said that Pharaoh, Fir'aun, really is the quintessential tyrant. It's the quintessential rejecter of truth after truth and the clear path becomes so apparent before him and his people. And the same argument and the same evil omen thing came from Fir'aun as well. Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, Verse 131. فَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْحَسَنَةُ قَالُوا لَنَا هَذِهِ وَأَنْ تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَطَّيَّرُوا بِمُوسَى وَمَنْ مَعَهُ أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Allah says, but whatever good came to them, they said, ours is this. This is because we deserve it. It's us when something good happens to them. But if evil afflicted them, something bad happened to them, they ascribe it to evil omens connected with Musa and those with him. Allah says, be informed, verily, their evil omens are with Allah, but most of them know not. The evil omen, the evil destiny that is afflicting them is from their Lord. It is not because of Musa. It is not because Musa's bad luck, because they're bringing it upon themselves with their evil deeds. And that's when the evil is afflicting them. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I will start with the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari as narrated on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Abu Hurairah said, I heard Allah's apostle, Prophet of Allah, saying, there is no tiyara. There is no tiyara, no bad omens, no evil omens. And the word that was used is a tiyara, which is the known word for the Arabs when they send those birds and the way the birds fly decide if it's a good omen or a bad omen. The Prophet said there is no tiyara. And the best of omen is fa'l. The best of omen is this fa'l. And they asked the Sahaba, what is fa'l? He said, a good word that one of you hears and take as a good omen. Meaning, always think positive. Always think positive after relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were camping outside the sanctuary of Mecca in the place called Al-Hudaybiyah, And there was the negotiation of the pagans of Quraysh with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Suhail ibn Amr, who was the last negotiator of Quraysh that came to the Prophet, and it was prolonged and really difficult negotiations to prevent the Prophet and his companions to enter Mecca. And then when the last person came was Suhail, and the Prophet said, Suhail, sahalallahu lakum. Suhail, may Allah ease it for you, because the name of Suhail is similar to the word easy in Arabic language, Suhail and Sahala. So he said, maybe that's a good word. Well, let's think positive. And that's what he said, that you can take that. You can take good omens as with good words. What does that mean? If you somebody is going on a journey and they sense some difficulty in their heart, they're going to a test, it is good to say, inshallah, it will be good. Inshallah, it will be nice. You know, the last place you're leaving is the masjid, and that's a blessed place, and you're going to the test. Inshallah, that will be a good thing. That is a good, it's not really an omen, but it's a good word, it's a positive word, it's a word of encouragement. But we don't take talismans, we don't put a necklace around your neck and say, this necklace is protecting me from bad destiny and bad evil. That is major shirk, that is major disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's we're putting attributes of Allah into things that can cause no good or no harm for us. It really defies our faith in the oneness of Allah and in Allah's ultimate and absolute power over destiny, which is whether it's good or bad. And that's why evil omens, at-tiyara, is disbelief. It is a major shirk. If someone truly believes that bird's flying to the left, or the cat passing, or the mirror breaking, is something that is going to cause, in or by itself, a bad event, that is shirk. That is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said, At-tiyaratu shirk, at-tiyaratu shirk, at-tiyaratu shirk. 3 times repeated it. That type of belief is disbelief. If we have faith in that is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith that is agreed upon is la tiyara. Do not look at those omens. And there is another hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad, من ردته الطيارة عن حاجته فقد أشرك. Those who have bad omens that prevent them from doing what they want to do, they have committed shirk. They have gotten to the point of disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning if we are to go to some place and then that black cat passes by and said, I'm not going anymore. Right, some people actually do that. You know? And that is shirk. You know? So Prophet said, that omens, if any omens actually caused you to change your course of action, then you don't believe in Allah. You don't believe that Allah has that. And the Prophet said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ تَطَيَّرَ أَوْ تُطَيِّرَ لَهُ. None of us, he's not of us, those who have those omens. Or they seek omens. You know? They seek certain omens. How do we defy those omens? How do we defy this superstitious thinking? By true tawakkul. By true reliance on Allah. By giving ourselves our destiny. No, it is all in the hands of Allah. Brothers and sisters, don't panic. You're in good hands. You're in the hands of Allah. And if you are good and you're practicing the good, you have nothing to worry about. Whatever good is good for you, and whatever even bad things that afflict us, will be rewarded for it. For our patience, for our tolerance, and for our iman. For our faith in that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we are about to go forward and perform something, then we just put our trust fully, unquestionably in the Lord, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبِّي عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ وَرَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. O Allah, we rely on you, and a destiny and the power over destiny is all in your hand. This is the true tawakkul on Allah. And if we believe in any of these omens, then we're really violating our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the Sahaba, the Prophet's companions, were raised in a society of omens and talismans. This was a way of life for them. And many of them would come complaining to the Prophet ﷺ that some of that is still in our hearts. You know, if you are raised and you live your whole life, like if you look in a broken mirror, it's bad luck. Sometimes you can't help it if you really see a broken mirror, just to have that little fear in your heart. Or a black cat, or whatever things that we, or an owl, or whatever. Whatever for each culture has its own, right? Good omens and bad omens. The Prophet said, من ردته الطيرة عن حجته فقد أشرق قالوا يا رسول الله ما كفارة ذلك قال يقول. Those who have this in their heart, who they feel it, or they have their suspicions, what do they say? They should say, اللهم لا طير إلا طيرك ولا خير إلا خيرك ولا إله غيرك. Oh Allah, there is no evil omen except what you bring. It's nothing bad. It's whatever you bring, we accept it. And in Arabic, the literal translation is la tayra illa tayra. There's no bird unless he's in your hand. Or it is in your hand. Meaning those birds, who's allowing those birds to fly? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we take refuge and rely on the bird or the omen, whatever it is? The word in Arabic is about the bird, but it doesn't have to be a bird. Nobody practices the flying the birds anymore. But the word stuck to describe the whole event. And we say, there's no evil omen except all omens are in your hands. All destiny are in your hands. وَلَا خَيْرَ إِلَّا خَيْرُكَ. And there is no good that can come except that comes from you. وَلَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُكَ. And there is no Lord but you. There is no deity worthy of worship except you. There is no one who we can take as a Lord except you. As a deity, as Allah. Except you. Why la ilaha ghayruk? It tells us that those who believe in those omens, they're violating la ilaha illallah. And that's why they have to reconfirm it. They have to reconfirm la ilaha illallah by saying at the end of that prayer, la ilaha ghayruk. There is no Lord but you. There is no deity, I should say. Because it's not la rabba ghayruk, it's la ilaha ghayruk. It's no deity worthy of worship except you. So this is the omen here. This is the omens that they took. They said, تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ لَإِنْ لَنْ دَنْتَهُ لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ وَلَيْمَسَنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. They said, we just take you as an evil omen, and if you don't stop calling us to the way of Allah, we will stone you, and bad torment, bad torture will be caused from us against you. Then something happened in that town. And that is the story of what happened in that town is tonight. A believer came. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ وَمَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغن عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون إني إذا لفي ضلال مبين. And a man came from farthest part of the city, from the furthest part of town, running. يسعى. قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين. That one verse, verse 20. There's so many lessons in every word to learn about beliefs, about iman, about faith, about responding to the truth. In that one verse, a man came running from the furthest part of town. When the truth is apparent, we should hurry to it. When we are told a word of wisdom, a word of truth, we should not take our time in response. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى. There are two things here. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us these details? We said before, this Qur'an is so perfect, and it's so tight, and there is not one word extra, and there is not one word you can take away from this book. So when Allah says, min aqsa al-madina, from the furthest part of town, there is a wisdom in that, there is a lesson in that, is you should make effort. He made effort. He came, he traveled a long distance. From the furthest part of town. Right? And he came hurrying. He came fast. He came running to the truth. So this believer just tells you immediately, these two words just give you immediately the character of how he responded to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the first thing that he does, what does he say? He doesn't go to the messengers and tell them, I believe in you. I'll join you. I'll be with you. No. What does he do? قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ تَبِعُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ He turns on to his people, and what is he practicing now? Practicing da'wah. There's many, he is a normal man, just an ordinary guy, who just joined the rank of the believers by coming from the furthest part of town, hurrying to accept the call of those messengers. And the first thing he does, he engages in da'wah. He engages in calling others to the way of the truth. SubhanAllah. So much lessons in that one verse. This is a person who tells us that once you see the truth and it becomes apparent to you, you should call for others to come to it. Was there not enough people? There were three prophets. There were three messengers in that one little town. Yet he took it upon himself to add his voice to the ranks of the truth, to the ranks of people that are calling for the truth. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ رَجْلٌ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ So the first thing is he comes and puts effort. He came from the furthest part of town. It was not enough for him to sit in his home and say, okay, I accept the truth, now I'm a believer. Fine, I'll close my door. I don't want to engage anybody else. I don't want to give any headache. Those are people that are threatening what? To stone us. What did they say? قَالُوا لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ He's putting himself in danger. Because the threat came in the verse that just before that. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ We will torture you. We will torment you. We will stone you. Yet he comes in. He puts effort. He walks from the furthest part of town. And then he clearly announces it. And then he calls for those people to come and join the way of the truth. And then he puts the argument forward. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ He started negotiating with them and calling them to the way of Allah with just simple logic. He said, why do you think these messengers are putting their lives in danger before you? What reward, what are they going to get out of this? Are they asking any reward? Are they asking you for some salary or some money or some power? مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا They ask no wages of you for themselves. وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ And they're rightly guided. رَحَمْكُمُ اللَّهُ So that tells us that as we engage, and it is a duty upon every Muslim. See, this man is a role model. This is what we reflect upon these verses. It's not for so we would know what happened to him. It's not a story for entertainment. This is the book that we model our lives after. This story is for us. He's already gotten his reward, and we will see that. It's for us, this story, that we engage in calling others. Don't say there is an imam. Alhamdulillah, we have great scholars in this town. We have really great group of callers to the way of Allah. Don't say, I'm going to sit in my house, I'm going to lock the door. You know, since 9/11, things have been really sort of top of difficult. I'm not going to just put my neck out there, right? Call to the way of Allah. This man is a role model for all of us. He's saying, I'm not going to... Yeah, there are three prophets in this town. Alhamdulillah, we have scholars, he had prophets, he had messengers. But yet he said, I'm going to join in. And I'm going to do what I can to call to the way of Allah, to call to the way of truth. And that's what we should do, brothers and sisters. Yes, there are people that are definitely more qualified, and I'm here just a really humble example before you. There are in this town many, many people that are much more qualified than me to be sitting here and to be saying these words. We do what we can. And we ask Allah for acceptance. There are brothers that are doing it many different ways. There are sisters that are gathering the children and other women and they're teaching them Qur'an. There are brothers that teach tajweed, that teach recitation of Qur'an. There are brothers that organize festivities and lectures and bringing people to town. There are people that are participating with organization, with just printing flyers. There are IT people that are just designing websites and sending emails. There are people that are just putting their money out there because that's what they can do. But the message is, you have to be active in this call. Once we receive the truth, it becomes a trust. It becomes an amanah. And it is the right of everyone else to hear that from us. Now, whether they accept it or reject it, that is their call. As long as we do our part, as long as we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment and said, I've done what I can. I brought water. I organized the food table. I brought some flowers, made it beautiful. You know, whatever I can. I cleaned the masjid. You know, the list is infinite, but I'm just bringing some examples. Is every single one of us has something to offer. We have some talent, something that we can do. Allah blessed us with something, and we should use that blessing. The reward, the thanking, the gratitude, the sign of gratitude to Allah is to use the blessings that He has given us in thanking Him. Because Allah did not say, وَقُولُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. Don't say, say, oh, the family of David, thank you. The family of David was blessed with many bounties of Allah. Allah did not say in the Quran, say thank you, say alhamdulillah. No, He said, وَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. Perform, do the deeds of gratitude. Those blessings have to be taken and translated into actions to thank Allah for them. If Allah gave me muscles, I will put that, I will help other people, you know, whatever. You know, I know a brother, subhanAllah, that he was involved in the charity fund. Allah gave him a very good physical build-up, and he will just carry all of these difficult stuff, put him on the truck, take the wheat and give it, you know, that was his talent. That was what he could do. Another brother was an accountant on the same thing. And his job was to take care of the books. This is what we do. This is how the Muslims is one solid community. Because we complement each other. We don't all have to do the same thing. Exactly the opposite. We should thank Allah and give our gratitude back to Him in the talent that He bestowed upon us and the bounty and the gift that He has specialized us with. That he gave to us. So, this man is using his call in da'wah, and he's saying those people they're asking no reward. And that's another lesson another thing we take from reflecting upon those verses, is those who are engaged in calling to the way of Allah, they should not ask for a reward or a wage. Does it mean that it is not allowed for them to be paid for certain action? That's not what it is. But if those are calling, especially those are on top of the da'wah, they should have no worldly interest in promoting that da'wah. It takes away from the sincerity of the call. Right? The sincere call is done only to please Allah. Now, some people that are hired to do certain things for the masjid, does that decrease their reward that they're being paid for it? Inshallah not. No. Because that is a job, and they're inshallah getting double reward. They're getting their salary for working for the masjid, and they're getting a reward for serving the house of Allah and serving the believers. So we need here not to say everybody, oh, you got paid for it, you got no reward. That's not what it means. But the financial interest should not be really the main goal. And let's face it, and especially in this society, really if you are working for any masjid really at this point in the United States, you are definitely sacrificing a big pay cut. Because you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere and be paid better. The salaries for any, you know, Allahu A'lam, I know that for a fact, just served on that shura for a while. All people that are paid to serve this masjid, wallahi, brothers and sisters, they are way, way, way underpaid. They can go to the lowest paid job and really make a whole lot more. So, inshallah, we give them the difference in dua, in praying for them, in really acknowledging their servitude, and appreciate who they are and what they're doing. And that is everybody, wallahi. And those who are volunteers as well, that just volunteer their time, volunteer their effort. And sometimes we are too critical for their role and what they're doing. And we just have to sometimes think and say, you know, maybe, we ask for Allah to guide them to the right decision, and we be helpers, not enemies to them, not obstacles and hurdles in their way. But we will be in all positive attitude to really guide, we'll all be guided to the right path. So, مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلُكُمْ أَجْرًا وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. They will not, they're asking no earthly reward, those prophets. He said, follow them. Follow them, because these people, what are they going to benefit from you if you become a Muslim or not? What is it going to help these people for? It's not going to help these people. You're threatening them with, you're going to kill them. You're going to stone them, you're going to torture them. But they get no benefit, no earthly benefit from this. That is a sign of truthfulness. That is a sign of sincerity. Somebody putting their lives in danger and they're getting nothing in return. Something is driving them, and that is the power of faith, and the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sincerity of their faith. So then he turns the argument back to him. He said, look at me. مَا لِيَ لَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And why would I not worship the one who has created me, and whom you shall be returned? Now, just to digress a little bit here. Now, the word created me is a translation of what word in this verse? Fatarani, right? Alladhi fatarani. Now, what is another word for creation? And both are being translated the very same way when you look at the English translation. It's khalaqani, right? Khalaqa and fatara. What is the difference between khalaqa and fatara? And why is it used here as fatarani, not khalaqani? Fatara, khalaqa means he created. Khalaqakum min turabin, thumma min nutfatin, right? Akafarta billadhi khalaqaka min turabin, thumma min nutfatin, thumma sawaka rajula. We just studied the verses of Surah Al-Kahf a couple of sessions ago. And he said, do you reject those who khalaqaka, that created you out of dust, and then out of sperms, and then out of, you know, became an embryo and then made you into a man? That is al-khalq, right? Now, what is the difference between khalaqa and fatara? We have a surah in the Quran called Fatir, right? Surah Fatir. Fatir is samawati wal-ard. Al-fatara means created out of nothing. To create something out right in the beginning. Khalaqa, create, you can take, you know, Allah took the mud and the dust and water and created man out of it. That is khalq. But who made the dust and the water to begin with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we say fatir, that tells you, you know, even the atheists, you tell them, okay, well, how did this universe came to existence? They say, okay, there was this infinite mass when there was a continuum of time, mass, and energy, and then all of a sudden, there was a big bang. And out of this big bang, all these galaxies came about, and the universe was formed. And Mother Nature did it. Right? وَلَيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ استغفر الله. And هي أَلَّا أَسْمَاء. And هي أَلَّا أَسْمَاء. It's just names. They put, not to say Allah, not to say the Creator. They put any names on it, not to say Allah. Now, if you ask that person, okay, so you're telling me that this process of forming the galaxies came from that infinite mass, where energy and time and mass is wrapped around, whatever the scientific term for it. Now, who created that? Where did that come from? This infinite mass, what are the physics of that mass? And what were the physics before that mass were there? Even Hawkins would say, I don't know. You know, Hawkins that puts these books just trying to disprove, then trying to prove there is no God. He cannot tell you anything about that infinite mass, right? Or whatever. I may not understand Hawkins well, but anybody, you know, any atheist would say, Well, tell him who fatar this, who created this out of nothing. Allah says about Himself, fatar is samawati wal ard. I created heavens and earth out of nothing. There was absolutely nothing before the creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started. So he is using a very powerful word, this believer here. He said, الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. He created me since I was nothing. He goes even before the dust and the soil of this earth. He said, He created me and everything I'm composed of. And He, to Him is my return. Why is he using this argument? The majority of polytheistic religions or pagan religions, they believe in a creator. The majority of them do. The majority do believe in creator. Even the pagans of Quraysh, لَإِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهُ. If you ask them who created heavens and earth, they will say Allah. The battery, yeah. The majority of the pagan beliefs, the majority of polytheistic, they will say, yeah, there is the creator, but we worship all these other things for different reasons. Because they will be in, they will have intercession for us before God, or they will be our way to God. This is the door, the gate to the pleasure of God, is to worship that idol or that deity or that. Even, you know, you look at philosophies like the Hindu is, you know, Hindu philosophy. They still have the God of gods, if you will, like Vishnu or Brahma, whatever, you know, sect they follow. Correct? But these, all these other deities, they're the way to get to that ultimate God. Even you look at the Roman philosophies and the Greek, you know, you have the great God. What is it in the Greek? Zeus, right? He's the father of all gods, or the supreme God. There's always a point, a pinnacle, where there is a God. And then they associate others with the worship of that one God. And that's what Islam is why Islam, just, you go directly, there is nothing that has any intercession, nothing that can cause harm or good for you, except Allah and Allah alone. That is Tawheed. That is really the basics of what we believe in. There is nothing, no one, that has power except Allah. And no one has the power to legislate. No one has the power to own. No one has the power to guide. No one has the power to good, to benefit or harm, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's saying, وَمَا لِيَ لَأَعْبُدُ الَّذِي فَطَرَنِي. Why would I not worship that who created me out of nothing? And I will, and my return will be unto him. Where am I going to go? أَتَّخِذُ مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. Would I take gods before him? Would I worship those gods before him? يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ. If the most gracious Allah intends me any harm, لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ. Their intercession will be of no use to me whatsoever. وَلَا يُنْقِذُونَ. Nor can they save me. Look at the beautiful choice of words. يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍّ. It didn't say, يُرِدْنِ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ. If Allah wanted to harm me, he said, الرَّحْمَن. Allah, everything that comes from Allah is what? It's mercy, it's rahmah. Even if it is an affliction, even if it is pain, even if it is a disease, even if it is loss of loved ones, even if it is lack of money, Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. We will test you, we will give you trials. You will have hardship in your lives. But if you are patient, and if you kept your faith, that was your test. And if you pass the test, then you will be infinitely rewarded. So he is saying here the beautiful choice of words. And that's a miracle of the Quran. يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍ. If Ar-Rahman, all-merciful, the source of mercy, not even Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, يُرِدْنِ الرَّحْمَنُ بِضُرٍ. لَا تُغْنِي عَنِّي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ. If Ar-Rahman, if Allah, who has the infinite mercy and the ultimate mercy, and He is the source of all mercy, if He wanted any harm to afflict me, out of His mercy, out of His wisdom, What can these idols, what can these associates do to me? لا تغني عني شفاعتهم. Their intercession, what does that mean? Really, if you go deeply into the words, he said, are these things more merciful than Allah? Are they going to help me so Allah will not afflict me with that affliction? He is more merciful. He loves me more than they do. And most of the time they're just names, like what you said, Mother Nature or Allat or Al-Uzza or whatever, God. Mostly they're just abstract thoughts that human beings just put forward. They had no basics in reality at all. And even if the historical figures had basis in reality, the acts of them have no basics in the truth. So he's saying Allah has the infinite mercy. And no one, how can anyone intercede for me before God? Why would I give any acts of adoration or reverence to those deities? Why don't I turn to the most merciful in my worship? Because no one is going to love me and have mercy on me more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when I'm on the right of truth. So what intercession, how is that going to help? And those idols, those things that people worship before beside Allah have no power. If Allah ordains for me to have this, how can they repel that? How can they defend me against the decree of Allah? Are they more powerful than Allah? The argument is really simple. These idols or these gods or these deities, they either have to be more merciful, they have my best interest in their heart, but I know Allah that I trust has that's infinite. He has that. His commandments is that for me. Or they have some power to defend me. He said, لا ينقذون. They cannot save me. They cannot help me. If I say they can help me, that means they're more powerful than Allah. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ. And that is kufr, that is shirk in its definition. But we're ascribing attributes of Allah to things that are other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, إِنِّي إِذًا لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Listen to that argument. He said, verily, then if I do that, I'm in plain and clear error. And then he declares it. وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. He said, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. I have believed in your Lord, so listen to me. And what happens after that? He declared his faith, he made the argument, he came from the distance, from the furthest part of town, came hurrying to declare and to call to the way of Allah, despite there are three different messengers in that town. And then he declares his faith, and he is determined, he is clear about what his heart believes. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah said, enter paradise. So what happened to him? They killed him. That's the words immediately, and the interpreters of the Quran, he said, they actually executed their threats against this person. They told them that we will kill you if you believe. So he declared, he gave him his argument, and he showed him his faith, irrefutable. They had no response. They had no logical response to what he was saying. Wallahi, kufr has no grounds. Disbelief has no grounds in common sense, in logic, in the faith of the heart, in the innate nature of a human being. It is always for. So they had nothing to argue but to kill this person because they don't want this disease of iman, this disease of faith to spread. This is a vocal person, right? He's a da'i. He's a person who's not keeping his faith in his house. He's not keeping it to himself. And he is a danger for that system. So they eliminated him. They killed him. But Allah says immediately, as he was killed, they told him, ادخلي الجنة. Allah said, go into paradise. ادخلي الجنة. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not assume that those who were killed in the path of Allah are dead. They are alive. in the presence of their Lord, and they are being gifted, they're given provision, their provision with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is martyrdom. This is the martyrdom in its best definition. أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ كَلِمَةُ حَقٍ. The best of jihad, the best of jihad in the way of Allah is the word of truth. عِنْدَ سُلْطَانٍ جَاءَ. In front of a violent tyrant. That's the best way to have jihad. So this person was a true martyr, as Allah is narrating his story for us. قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. What was his response? Now he is saved. He's killed, but he's saved. He's now the happiest person. He is seeing the bounty of Allah. The pleasure that are not describable. The language is not enough to describe the beauty and the bounty of the hereafter for the believers. Because Allah says, وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا. If you see, but if you can see, meaning, you know, it cannot be described. مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. That's the similitude, the example is similar to this and this, so our human minds can understand that. But what is really, وَلَا تَعْلَمْ فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. Not a soul can even imagine the beauty and the tranquility and the peace of that existence. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. Not an eye ever seen, not an ear ever heard. This is what Allah says, is what is described in the Quran and the Sunnah about the Jannah. So he saw this. He immediately, after the moment of his death, he saw all of that. What was his response to Allah? Oh Allah, destroy them now. Oh Allah, kill all those who killed me. Oh Allah, have revenge upon them. They took my life away. All I was doing was calling to the truth. No. That's not what he was... Listen, this is the probably the final lesson of this da'iyah, of this caller to Allah. This is an example for a du'a, for the people who call to Allah. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. I wish my people just would know what is there. And they see the forgiveness of my Lord. Because he really loves his people. This man has his heart for his people. Even though they killed him, they took his life away. But that's what a da'iyah, that's what a caller to Allah should have. When you are calling for others, whether they're Muslims, other than Muslims, you should have their best interest in their heart. The only way why we're extending this da'wah to others is because we love them. Because we want them to have good. Because we want the best for them. قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِي رَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. That the forgiveness of my Lord and the honor that He bestowed upon me, that my Lord has forgiven me and made me of the honored ones. And then Allah tells us the end of the story, what happened to His people. Allah says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ مِنْ جُنْدٍ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And we send not against His people or for His people after Him a host from heaven. They exhausted three messengers and a caller to Allah. These people have been given every chance. And we see it's not, if Allah sends 100 more messengers, it's the same thing. Stubbornness is the same thing. We saw Pharaoh. It is enough for one sign, one proof that Moses brought to him for him to believe. 9 different ones, and then split the sea. And he said, go on in pursuit. So, the stubbornness, the hearts can become like rocks. And Allah says it's even worse than rocks. Because some rocks actually, some springs come out of rocks. And those hearts are solid and have no benefit at all. So Allah says, وَمَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ. The All-Merciful is saying, they're just stubborn people. They're insisted on their disbelief. And we have sinned no more. No more host from heaven. No more soldiers of Allah. مِنْ جُنْدِ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَمَا كُنَّا مُنزِلِينَ. Nor was it needful for us to send such a thing. There is no need anymore. They have, in their killing of this person after this clear argument that we've just discussed, they're showing clearly their true nature. They will not believe no matter what. And Allah says there was no need to send any more. That's it. This, and then He said, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا فَإِذَا هُمْ خَامِدُونَ. It is not but one cry, one scream, one shout, and they were silent. And just to tell us in one word how their end was, just to belittle their affair, who do you think you are? You're challenging Allah, you're challenging three of His messengers. You're challenging the truth, and then you kill people. Just all this person said, إِنِّي آمَنْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ فَاسْمَعُونَ. Verse 25. I believe in your Lord, hear me. I'm just declaring my faith, they killed him. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that all that arrogance, all that tyranny, all that oppression, صَيْحَ وَاحِدًا. In a humiliating way, one cry, one shout of Allah, or the messenger of Allah, the angels of Allah, one cry, and they're gone. That's how fragile our existence is. And then yet some human beings will stand up to challenge the power of Allah and to challenge the truth that the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings. That was the story of this believer. And from that we would like inshallah to take home the lessons of da'wah. Or how we need to become callers for the path of Allah. How it doesn't come cheap. Jannah, paradise is a great reward. أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ غَالِيَةً أَلَا إِنَّ سِلْعَةَ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ. That the goods that Allah, the reward of Allah that He offers is expensive. It's precious. So we don't want to take it cheap. This person, جَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. He cut the distance. He came the distance. He put effort. يَسْعَى. He came running. And then he declared the truth. And he put his neck out. And he put his life on the line. And he lost his life. Just to say a word of truth. That is our examples, inshallah, in this life. And these are the lessons that we take from the story of the believer of Yasin. Do we have any few minutes for questions or comments? Or when is it comment? Is it 9? Oh, 8:45. Okay, then I'm way over. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فيا فوز المستغفرين.